and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and I'm with my brother.
Pastor Barry.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
He's alive. In fact, he gave me the idea for tonight's session because he and his wife both came through COVID, and they're now well and alive, and they're still catching up on their energy, but they look great. Mm-hmm. But the theme for tonight's program is toward a fuller understanding of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that's in Scripture, throughout Scripture, healing of all kinds. And we're going to just see where the Spirit takes us. But my brother's going to read from Isaiah 53, chapter 4 and 5, a very significant Scripture about Jesus as Messiah and the issue of healing.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. The word of the Lord.
Amen. And thank you, Lord.
Mm.
Yes. And the whole, you know, we talk about this is messianic prophecy. So, you know, we can look at this and say that in a way, there's a holistic statement here about the mission and ministry of Jesus that culminates in his sacrifice on the cross toward the healing of souls, the salvation of souls, the forgiveness of sins. And all of that is a significant way of healing. But when as Christians, when we talk, we use the word healing, we're often thinking of something more localized, like injury or illness.
Something very specific,
or emotional distress, even spiritual distress that we are experiencing or somebody we know is experiencing. And it was that really, as Barry and his wife were in the midst of COVID, when we talked about this, you're definitely focused on the issue of healing.
Oh, very specific.
Yeah.
Lord, take away one of those lines on my testing kit because I don't want this anymore. All I want is a little line moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Those home kits, we've used them too. We've had COVID about 6-8 months ago. And you're always looking. You do it every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for that top line. Okay, that can stay.
Yes.
But the bottom line, no way.
That's,
you know,
right.
And finally, it doesn't show up and you're so excited.
Oh, yeah. Makes your day.
And yeah.
But you know, and that's an example, David, of being very, as you say, local.
Yeah.
You know, there's a universe going on around us, and we're down here jumping up and down, pointing at where the other line is.
Yeah. It is, but that's where our mind and our thoughts are right then.
Yeah, we're like a little child with no knowledge of what's around us as far as the bigger picture goes.
And that brings really to the bottom line is that. How do we address issues of healing that we're involved in, either because we're sick or we're injured or there's something going on that we know is not right and we need God to deliver us from that, or someone we love or care for, or someone we've been led to, whom we don't even know, and I've had that happen as a pastor, and yet their affliction is so great. And we know God heals. We're going to be prompted to pray for healing. But in the course of that, or as we begin prayer, and I think it's important to start with that phrase, as we begin to pray for healing, for no matter who it is, what's a proper approach to that? There is a way and an attitude that is a real blessing, not just us, but those who are involved. Because prayers, we're called to pray in every circumstance.
And do we know how to?
I mean,
It seems like an innocuous question. Do you know how to pray for healing? But seriously, folks, you think about it. When have you prayed for healing and for what purpose? if you can go back in your time machine.
Yeah.
And how did that end? What was the outcome of all that?
Right.
Do you even remember what you prayed for? Did you ever remember to thank God for the outcome? I mean, we get so caught up in ourselves.
We do.
In the initial introduction to disease, disaster, whatever it is.
Yes.
Like our hair is on fire. I always like that expression because I have an active imagination too, David.
When you say that, I can see.
Yeah, running around the house with my hair on
flaming
fire.
Flaming follicles and someone running around, you know. And I understand that sometimes that when there's a perceived need for healing, it comes with a great deal of anxiety too. Because maybe it's of the moment. Maybe there's a heart attack. There's some other, a stroke, some other kind of, you know, immediate and obvious physiological failure that could lead to death. And, you know, our desire then is to pray, ask the Lord to retrieve that person from the edge of death and restore them, you know. And I think that's natural. And I think it's also very, if you're a believing Christian and you read the Word of God, you will know that God heals. You will know that. And you will know that, and especially this last verse from Isaiah, that with his wounds we are healed, is often a claim. And I know I've made this in prayer, praying for people for healing, and recognizing that in the work of Christ, Jesus on the cross, and opening up because of his sacrifice, the doors of heaven for those that believe, that receive him as Lord and Savior, and have a life in Christ today while we're still physically alive, there's also comes with that promise that God, he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will hear those prayers for healing. And some even will go beyond and say that, you know, if God does not want us to be sick or, you know, emotionally aberrated, or what he wants to restore us to, and I don't doubt that. But I guess the template I want to put on this is not doubting anything that God wants to do or his ability.
Okay.
But it's to put it back in the framework of our call from God to be faithful in prayer and to say to God, all right, God, I'm going to pray for healing. What do you want for me or for this person? Because God's plan, he has a plan for everybody, right?
That is a wonderful, insightful statement you just made. As a chaplain, I've come across folks where the local preacher just left the room. There was all kinds of shouting and calling upon God to heal this 97-year-old little lady. And then I'll go in the room afterwards. And in one particular instance, this nice little lady said, now that that's done, can we say a real prayer? And I always loved her for that. I said,
whoa.
Sure, ma'am. What do you want? She said, I don't really want to get better. I want to see the Lord, but I want my family to be healed because they're divided right now over me.
Yeah.
And some want me to live and some want me to die, and I just want a healing of the family.
Yeah.
So that's the healing prayer that she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she suffered terribly, terrible disease she had, and took it she managed to go through it with grace and patience and dignity because that was the Christian that she was.
Right.
And that's what she always believed in. Never complained. Mm. Everybody around her complained. But that particular disease, it's a bone cancer, and bone cancers are very, very painful.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a terrible, terrible disease. But anyway, to use your expression, David, 24-karat Christian, I've always liked that, because these are people that in the darkest situations don't pray for themselves, they pray for the others around them. And she was busy praying. Did the family know what she was praying for? Probably not. You know, she had her Bible in her hand and she was praying. She just wanted them healed. She didn't want to be the marker in their life that said this was a dividing line over mom or great grandma, whatever they were calling her. But you know, your description of healing at a higher level intrigues me, because we've both been in the healthcare business, and we've seen the best of times and the worst of times with patients. And the question always arises, why? Why is Dad so sick? He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he always served God. He was a loyal Christian. Why? And of all the things in the world, he's suffering from the worst disease, you know.
Yeah.
Why? And your perspective on this, I think, answers that question of why.
Mm-hmm.
As a fellow Christian, as a pastor, counselor, chaplain, whatever you want to call him, it's not always easy to convey that message during the time.
Emotions run high.
Real high.
Yeah.
And they may... The folks who are suffering may look at you like you've got a third head or something, and what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But again, you're planting seeds, and later on, when the dust settles, they may look back upon that saying, you know, I get that now.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned to you my mom, and I think I've shared this story before, but since all the people listening now probably didn't hear that program 2 years ago, but it fits what you're just talking about, because mm-hmm. when I was a brand new baby Christian, my mother was diagnosed, you mentioned bone cancer, and mm-hmm. this was the secondary cancer from some tumor that they couldn't find. But clearly it metastasized, and it was had a lot of spinal, hip, ribs, that kind of stuff, and it was growing. By the time they discovered it, it was too late for them to do anything, so they ended up doing a hospice thing in the hospital. And because I was a new Christian, and in fact, when you mentioned doing a thing on healing, part of my spiritual growth and what God has done with me and through me over the years makes me remember how arrogant I was back then in impressing on God my plan for my mother's healing.
Oh, okay.
Now, my plan for my mother's healing would be undoubtedly a miraculous total deliverance from any cancers, that the wasted body I saw with all the hair missing and the thinness and her torpor because of all the drugs that she was taking mm-hmm. would be, you know, like, bam, gone. And I told God that's what I wanted. And I was serious. And I believed that God was listening, and he was saying, yeah, David, you know, just keep praying. And but there is especially with loved ones, and I think this is what you talked earlier, with, there's a time and a place to get down to the spirituality of the issue.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But right then, no one could tell me that I was not going to be an instrument of my mother's healing. And I prayed, we prayed, as time went on, I prayed more specifically to God because I wasn't sure he was getting the schematics.
Did you have it all printed out in triplicate
almost,
form, David?
Almost. Oh, okay. I mean, my prayers were so finely tuned. Now, okay, and so the story is that after 3 months in the hospital, my mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to be with the Lord. And I was angry, man. I'm telling you what, I was angry.
Your plan was rejected.
My plan was rejected. And out of that, I had some very... Now, it's a funny thing. Because I was... My arrogance, my hubris had pumped me up to the point where I believed God was going to do something, because I was telling him, and God's not going to do what you want, by the way. He's not going to listen to you and say, oh, I had a better plan, but I'll do yours. No. His plan is always perfect. You have to listen to him. I wasn't doing that.
Mm.
And so as a result, I was overcome by anxiety and fear. And that spirit pestered me seriously for several years. I mean, several years, because I'd let it in, see?
And that's something that's tough to deal with. It's a different kind of suffering.
Yeah.
And you may even be aware of it, but you can't control it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, one thing God did show me after the fact, when I started getting some help, when I went to a clergyman that had been referenced by a priest who had actually lost his mother. Our first session, he'd come back from her funeral. So I was like, wow,
yeah,
this guy had fruit to share with me from his own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I discovered that, you know, I was telling God what to do. I had sinned. And what I'd failed to do was be what we're supposed to do in the beginning. Get on your knees, open your heart to God, and listen to him.
Mm.
He knows your agenda, you know, but listen to him. Lay before him your concerns. And in that prayer process of intimacy, which we always talk about, Barry,
right,
that God will speak to your heart about the focal point of your need and what he wants to do, what he's going to do about it, mm-hmm. and how you can become involved. So I had a lot of repenting to do, okay? And I did that. Thank God he's forgiven me. But But the learning I got out of that is there was nothing different between what I was doing and what any other person who is a believer would be doing with a loved one, especially like a mom or a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, this is a bit of discipleship, to learn from our sin. You know, I mean, literally, you know, learn from my experience and the experience of so many other people.
But it equipped you to move on and help others throughout your lifetime of pastoring who are going through the same thing.
Exactly. It was a blessing. And God, when God delivered me out of that, I mean, I was so much stronger spiritually. And I could also then have the authority from my own experience to speak directly to someone who's doing exactly what I was doing and point it out lovingly and lead them in a pastoral environment of prayer and the study of the Word and just being there with them while they struggled through this time and help them come out stronger. And that's the heart we both have, Barry, for our listeners, because we know this, at least one person in the hearing of this program that is caught right in the middle of a difficult time, someone you love, care for, has a problem.
And it may not be a terminal disease.
No, it may not be. It could be an emotional issue that is a constant. They cycle through, like, you know, manic, not what they call it manic depression anymore, but, you know, bipolar.
Yeah. Everything's got a new name, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't learned a lot of the old names yet. But you know how it is, and we today, especially in our country, with all the chaos going on and the more higher levels of anxiety.
You know, how many church fathers have used the expression that they were blessed with suffering, and that they're turning their suffering as a blessing back to God in thanking Him. And that used to puzzle me, David, when I hear that. You know.
Yeah.
You'd hear the crusty old Pope or cardinals, you know, cardinals saying, "Yeah, I've got two broken hips and I've got emphysema, but I'm suffering, but it's all good," you know. And, well, then when we go through it, consciously going through pain, and suffering, meaning you're not so caught up in your own emotional baggage and your own concern, you begin, as you mature, to realize, now, wait a minute, this is happening for a reason. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was in the hospital losing my blood.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel good. Can't breathe, can't move. You know, you really do feel like you're dying, actually because you are.
yeah, that's true.
After receiving a couple of pints of blood, I woke up, but I was still in the expensive care unit, you know. And I just remember 2 a.m. wake up, call, lights come on, and I thought it was medication. It was a nurse saying, "I saw in the chart that you're a pastor. Can I talk to you about something?" And for the next hour or so, in the middle of the night, she had some really good questions, great questions, about accepting Christ and how her life would change.
Yeah.
And she had a lot of accumulated stuff that she couldn't let go of, a lot of painful stuff. Anywho, when we finished and she gave me a little present. She gave me little socks to cover my gigantic freezing feet in the hospital. But I couldn't get back to sleep because I was realizing, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I would have come here of my own volition, maybe not 2 a.m, but I get it. All this happens for a reason, you know, and I have to be confident that whatever the outcome is, somebody was healed.
Yeah.
Somebody was healed. Now, you know, if I die in that bed right there and I was in the arms of the Lord, I'm healed, I'm good.
Yeah.
It was like a total healing in that whole scenario of 2 a.m.
And what the story, that thing you just told me, and I was there in the ER while you were, they were investigating your issues and all. I brought some blood with me, but they wouldn't let me give it to you. Yeah, I know, but I can't carry blood wherever I go because you never know.
We could have been real blood brothers.
We could have been. We can still work that out later.
All right.
The point you're making is that when we talk about a healing situation and immediately our mind narrows down to one person or a series, maybe a group of people that are suffering, and that's good, you know. But the circumstances, from God's view, are much larger. They cover a lot more real estate because whenever a person has anything that they need healing for, body, mind, or spirit, and it's manifesting symptomatically, and it's causing pain and suffering. Yes, we want to bring God's healing, healing prayer to that. But that one person, like any of us, is connected to a larger body of people, their family, their friends, or coworkers.
Sure.
You know, in the case of pastors like us, there's a congregation, there's other ministers that we're connected with in the larger body. And so, so I guess the point I'm trying to make is this, that although it seems like it's all about us, even then, even if we're the one who is dying and we're feeling the pain and the sense of loss and whatever, it's really not about us, it's about God.
Right.
And what God is doing and wants to do in and through us, involving all the people, including the nurses and doctors, you know, that happened to be there when you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And they, God has a plan for all of them. He wants to impart something of great value through your life. And I know when you can have words, you know, and I know you've been there. I've been there in that one time when you were in the ER.
Sure.
When you were speaking to the nurse and you were sharing holy precept. I mean, you were God was using you. And, you know, I've done the same when I had the heart stent.
I'm sure.
The actually cardiac in the artery. But to speak to the doctors and nurses, just be supportive and encouraging, you know, and offer a testimony when it was right and proper.
Mm.
And so that, so if you think of it as a ministry, and you would be very much in line with a lot of the early church believers, you know, who saw their suffering as being a blessing.
Well, they use terms like a glorious martyrdom, things like that. How are we doing on time? I've got a quick story.
We have about maybe 5.5 minutes.
Okay. We're both acquainted with a deacon who is a good friend of ours, and him and his wife's grandson was prematurely born. This goes back about 4 years ago, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And he'll know if he's listening that I'm talking about him. But this baby suffered greatly on a respirator, and this couple had a lot of friends who were bikers, but all kinds of friends. Mm. And for about 3 or 4 months, the suffering continued. And there was no forward progress for this poor baby. His name was Gabriel.
Ah.
And when I was actually speaking at his funeral service, because he didn't make it, I looked at this crowd of 100 and some odd folks, and I that's a tough one. Explain why this baby had to suffer.
Mm.
That's the look on their face waiting for me to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, all I can tell you is what I've observed as a fellow human being, and his name's Gabriel, and I understand all of you were emailing each other for the last several months saying, I haven't prayed before in my life, or it's been 20 years since I prayed, but I'm on my knees praying for Gabriel. And this happened over and over and over again. This couple was sharing this with me. And so I said, from what I see here, Gabriel did his job and went home.
Mm.
He announced that the Lord is alive and well, that he loves you very much.
Mm.
It's time to pray.
Yeah.
And you did. And then he's moved on. I think about that because the hearts of the mom and dad and the grandparents are still broken.
Of course.
Of course they're going to be broken. But they also saw a purpose. They may have taken a little while to accept, to think about, to process, you know, in their brain as well as their heart, that could a baby be sent to save people and then be taken back to heaven? Well, Jesus did that.
Yeah.
And how many other, you know, saints, as we call them in the church, lived a very short, young life and then were taken, whether by martyrdom or whatever it was. And truly suffered. I mean, if you ever have some time, sit down and read the lives of the apostles and the saints and see what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
That they were so in love with Christ that they were willing to die terrible deaths, suffer terribly. They didn't die right away. Tough stuff. And yet people were watching, why would someone suffer so for this, whoever this Jesus is? Why would they put themselves through that?
And the whole issue of suffering is very spiritual, and it is also a thread that runs through the Old and the New Testament too. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus' sufferings, there's a holiness there, and it's not just because he was Jesus, but because now that we are in him and he is in us in that wonderful godly unity, mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit enables, that we can begin to say, you know, maybe, all right, yeah, I'd love to be delivered from whatever I'm suffering from, but let me give this to God and see how he wants to use it, you know? And that will be a great blessing in itself. Real quick one, when I had COVID 6 or 8 months ago, and for me, the symptoms were initially, you know, I was some joint pain, and I wasn't having a trouble breathing so much, a little congestion. But in the first few days, I really couldn't sleep.
Hmm.
I don't know what was going on, but, you know, not for any other reason than that whatever that disease was doing, I couldn't sleep. So for 36 hours, I stayed up.
Ooh.
And what I found was that I said, okay, this is, for me, it's suffering because I don't like to not sleep when I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my Bible and I had several books that had been given me or that I'd acquired that were spiritual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent all night reading. I mean, reading the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and praying the Word of God and reading these great books that were opening up wonderful vistas of discovery in the spirit for me. And so I would say, yeah, God didn't deliver me from that suffering for 10 days. I mean, I was able to sleep after 3 or 4, but look how, for me, I would say, look how God used that time to bless me.
Bless you richly.
Richly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And otherwise, I mean, I wouldn't have done that.
Hmm.
And so I give God thanks for that, which is really, if you think of it, a commandment in Scripture. Paul is the one that utters it, but it's, you know, to give thanks in all circumstances. Philippians 4, I think.
That's right.
All circumstances, and when we're ill or somebody else is ill, to help lead them to an understanding of thanksgiving.
Coming from a great sufferer, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, folks, suffering's part of life. And so that's why it is a very spiritual thing. So you're going to suffer. If you're not suffering now, believe me, as long as you draw breath, there'll come a time, whether it's emotional or physical. So get on your knees, actually before that, so God can prep you. But how can I deal with this? What, Lord, how can I suffer for you?
And then listen.
And then listen. Mm. And you will be amazed. I hate to say this, but our time is up.
Oh.
I know.
Well, folks out there, I'll continue to pray for you. I'm garnering prayers for me too.
Yeah.
But I am back and I feel good. But bless you all. Peace be with you.
And also with you. Have Thank a good you. Night.
Mm.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Found in you. Messiah.